गणपति गुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. Each class will chant at least the first verse or a few verses, so you can always be ready for with the text. Like this, so each time I'll chant it like this, part by part, so you can hear one part and then chant, so that way easier. And this is very good, especially first verse is a very good one to know, because it's, as we said, it's one of the verses from Upanishads that's most quoted, most known, and, you know, really, as we said, gives a nice picture of the whole Upanishadic literature like this. Om Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Chaktena Bhunjithaha Magridah Kasya Swidhanam Kurvanneveha karmani Jijivishechata gumsamaha Evantvainan yathetosti Nakarma lipyate nare. So these two verses that we are the ones we've gone over so far, which again we said these go over the whole, give the whole picture of what this Upanishad talking about. The first one gives the vision of Vedanta, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, that the one presence, the one Atma, one Brahman in and, is in and through everything. That there is that one that is interpreting everything, it's the substratum of everything. And it says this is the higher vision, what, you know, that all of the Upanishads, all these teachings are pointing at, like this. The second one then is going to detail, okay, if I can't just see this oneness, and I can't just strive for this oneness, putting other things aside, that still I'm caught up in other things, what to do then? Now, here's an example that'll work nicely for explaining that. After I came here from living in the ashram, then suddenly I was living in the world where I wasn't used to, a very different thing. And in the world, you have to go and you have to work and make money. Before that, you're in the ashram, you just do your duty, you do what you need, and that's it. It's no payment, you don't have to fill your time card or invoices or anything like this. You just do. And so it was very strange at first. And then I said, okay, I'm going to get a degree. It'll be a little easier to work, right? Now, had I been somebody who came right out of high school here, and I would have applied to some colleges, like some people we know now, every year we know ones like this, you probably also know, mostly because of my wife's students, we always know girls that are because the girls are doing the dance, the boys aren't doing somehow here. So we always know a few that are now applying for colleges and everything. So they finish the high school, they go right, they apply, they get into some colleges, decide which one, they go straight to college. Because they go straight in, done. They're going, they wanted to go to UC Berkeley, whatever, they get in, they go. Okay, done. So that's direct go to there. Now somebody isn't ready to go directly into there, right? I was living here for a little while in the Bay Area. Then I said, okay, I'm going to go get a degree, because I, after high school, I went to the army, as everybody has to in Israel. It's not voluntary there. It's, you get a, you know, notice in the mail, stamped, you have to be there on this date, done. So that, then afterwards I lived in ashram and this, so afterwards now I find myself here, so okay, so I'm going to get a degree, so better for work and everything. Now, because I don't have a high school degree from US, because my high school was years before, you know, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years before, whatever, oh, more than that probably, whatever is before, quite a few years before that, I can't go straight into the UC system, they won't take you. So I went to the community college. I got the necessary qualifications from community college and then transferred into UC Berkeley. So I had to do the, you know, whatever units needed, then transfer in. So those were the two ways. If you were, those who were totally ready, meaning had what's needed to just go right into the college, straight and done. If not, there's the other way, and then you go into four-year college after it's done. Now, somebody else isn't interested to go to college. They just want to get some other job training and do that. They just want to travel, whatever other reason, they're not going to go. So here, in this case, we say, okay, I want Atmajnanam, let's say. I want to understand what Vedanta is saying this way. Okay, directly, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, first verse, go for it for this. Completely go into it, directly done, like this. Now, if my preparation wasn't ready completely, I'm not able to do, and I don't have the qualifications yet. And the qualifications, you know, you can take it as sadhana chatushtaya that we've talked about, the four means for liberation, at least to some extent. If you're perfected in any of those, you know, like you can pass with a 95 plus mark, you know, you have atmajnana anyway. You'll have atmajnana anyway. If you're perfect viveka, you see, you know, okay, I'm the witness in consciousness, there's the anatma this, then the whatever is anatma will naturally fall as just a shadow dependent on, and you'll know there's just sarvam karvidam brahma, there's only brahman, there's no problem, if you have perfect viveka. But, you know, but over a certain level, then you'll just have the desire to look into this. We're not going to have the desire to go into the worldly things. So what happens, but if I have the desire for, but I'm not totally, the qualification isn't completely there, then the second verse is for me. Yes, kurvanneveha karmana, yes, do actions, but do it in a Vedanta-friendly way, is said. Meaning, how did we say? Doing my duty, slowly, you know, dropping the other types of duties. We said vishiddha karma, those who are, which are working against different rules, regulations, immoral, anything like this. Those are things we need to drop because they're counterproductive. Then afterwards, the kamya karma, those that are just because I like to do, those things slowly have to be lessened because what those depend on me is the individual. They think in my identity as the individual. That's the reason why. It's not that there's anything wrong with them, but it's kind of like if I want to look into this, they're pulling me the other direction. Literally, this is something that we're all guilty of as aspirants until somebody becomes a real true aspirant completely in heart, that it, you know, the flame is really burning strongly in them, the mumukshutvam, desire for liberation. Then what happens is, yes, I take some steps forwards in understanding, but then I take some steps back also because still I have my kamya karma and my likes and dislikes and everything, because it takes time for them to slowly, you know, lessen in this way. But then it's saying, yes, strive for this second one as the preparation. As the second one, in doing things as duty, what's needed, not what is, you know, my likes, dislikes, like this. The example we gave and that's classically given is of Lord Rama, in all his story, all the stories in the Ramayana, to show he's doing things according to dharma, what's needed, not according to what's comfortable, what I like this. Because that is a way I'm surrendering my individuality in this way. That then it's not. And then what happens is that otherwise, it's like trying to have the cake and eat it too. I want to be, you know, I want to renounce my individuality, but I want to hold on to my individuality. So it doesn't go like this. So this is what is being pointed out here. And this is the whole, like if you take Bhagavad Gita, you can frame all this as all Bhagavad Gita in these two verses also. So much of the text you'll see are just in here like this. Now what happens in the meantime, while I'm striving, while I'm going through life, then I use certain things. I use kamya karmas, fulfilling my desires, what I like, and my artha, get for acquiring things for feeling secure. These types of things are used, and they're really kind of like crutches, because they can't totally support, because we try to have those support and give me my happiness and contentment and my security, but they don't give it completely. They give somewhat, but then, you know, always a patchwork, nonstop patchwork. So it can't really sustain what I'm really looking for. So it's like crutches that I become dependent on. Dharma as well. Dharma meaning I'm doing what's needed. So dharma can be done for two reasons. One reason, because I want to, you know, get to somewhere better later. I want to go to heaven, to a better place later. Then this is one type of dharma that I do in that way. And that one, then it's really a way, just like I work to make money and I do my job well and honestly in this, so I can later go on vacation. So I do in this time very well, so later I can go on vacation in the heavens. So that's one. And one because I think it's the right thing to do, or I do it for purification. For those of you, that's a different dharma for a different way. One is really goes together with artha kama. One goes more with mumukshutvam, desire for liberation. And dharma meaning how is best to do, and I do best. So this is so what happens is not using this as my the activity, and this is my clutch, as my crutches. This is slowly learn how to let go of that. So this is what this is pointing out. Now, what happens again for summarizing these two verses, some other points on it, is we feel there's an ingrained idea in us that I need to do something in order to get to my happiness and my security. I feel like something needs to be done. And the thing is, we find when anything I do, I can't totally get to that. This is some temporary thing. So that doesn't totally do it. So then, at some point we say, okay, that isn't totally doing it, fine. Then jnana comes along, Vedanta, and we say, okay, I have to do, but I have to understand something. It has to be followed up with some action, because I'm used to, I know something, then I will go and do according to that. That's another, so some people actually then say here, jnana karma samuchaya. You need jnana and karma together. Okay, karma needed for purification, as long as still the raga dvesha, I'm living by likes and dislikes. Okay, fine. But really, for the goods, it's not both jnana and karma, it's jnana, just understanding. Because the problem is a misunderstanding. So the understanding helps to fix it, like this. A nice point Swami Paramarthanandaji says about this. He says, okay, your room is dark, right? Let's say it's not electricity there. What are you going to do? You know, you open the window and there, you open the curtains, the light will come in. He says, you can sweep the room really well, right? You can huff and puff like this. you can stand on your head. Will any of this bring light to the room? Because the problem is that the light is being blocked from coming in, like that. So in the same way, I don't have self-knowledge, and then these doing something isn't going to fix it. That's not, it's a misunderstanding. Now, of course, you know, there in that example, it's just good for saying why knowledge is needed. Yeah, preparation needed, just like we said for the college, some preparation needed to get in. So this is saying about, okay, preparation, how you can, what are prerequisites to make it more readily available like this. And you study Vedanta without the total preparation, which is what we usually are doing. Usually we're not coming in after, you know, in the college, you want to go into a certain course, you have to have certain preparation, they don't let you in. Here, it's different. But here, then, as we go along slowly, you know, just by studying Vedanta, a lot of the preparation slowly happens. And also, because of the vision of it, slowly we change how we see things and do things also. So the preparation comes along as well, like this, in this way. So so this is how what these two verses are pointing at. Last time we were also asked about, okay, but there can be very difficult situations I can be in. What do I do about that? So one thing is, if you take the life itself and you really look at it, it's a very difficult situation to begin with. I'm stuck in this little body with so little energy, so little options, so little opportunity. I'm going to be here for a short time. Before I know it, anything I know and have will be gone. Before I know it, I as the individual will be gone too. So it's already from the beginning, it's a very tragic situation if I look at it like this. And I'm trying to, within this situation, to, you know, grab a little bit of contentment, happiness, and share, you know, and of course, if I see in a broader vision, share it with other people too. Like here, Swami Shivanandaji, what he did, he became a doctor so he can go and serve humanity, and he went and served humanity in amazing ways. But then he found, okay, he'll heal people, he'll give them a cheer, he'll give them some money also, and give them medicines. But then after some time, again, the body is a problem, again, there'll be problems. Again, poverty will be there again. So then what? So we saw this isn't solving the problem completely. I have to look in a different way. So in this way, within any situation that comes, will be akin to this. Some negative situation might be there. Now, karmically, when there's a situation there, we don't know, how does Lord Krishna says, garno karmagatihi, the karma, the whole, you know, whole intertwined thing of karma is too difficult for us to see. Impossible. Like, try to do contact tracing for coronavirus in United States now. Impossible. Like South Korea, New Zealand, these places can do it. Singapore is smaller because they are more on top of it. But here, impossible. So try to see what all your karmas are, where they came from, how deep they are, how long they're going to last, you can't tell. It's too complicated. So any karma that comes, yes, I have to deal with it best as I can. It might be a karma that with some work, it'll go away. It might be a karma that won't go away, but with some work, at least be balanced, could be managed, right? And it might be a karma that you can't do anything about. You just have to endure and that's it. We don't know. So the thing is, yes, we have to remedy what we can, but to be too caught up in is endless, because karma is an endless thing. You know, the story is endless. The dream is endless, one to another to another. So yes, we have to deal with, but if we're too caught up in it, my attention's more there, how it'll be on you know, on something deeper. That's why what it prescribes here, kurvanneveha karmani, doing my duty best as I can. And any duty I have is a temporary duty I was given. You know, any duty you have because, you know, you're a parent. Once the kid goes to college, once they grow up in this, okay, you're still a parent, but your duty has shifted. It's not the same duty. And even if not, once you leave this body, is that duty still yours? It's not yours anymore. Because who afterwards you're somewhere else, that person somewhere else. If there's other lifetime, how they might not be, they might be your neighbor, you know. You don't know. Might never see. So any duty is, any karma is something that is limited for some time. So we have to do our best at it and then leave. So karma yoga, do 100% your best, dharma as needed, and then leave it. And one of the best ways to leave, you know, result isn't mine, result in the God's hands. Done, not mine, because if I take the results for me, then it just perpetuates on and on. So slowly learning, that's the kurva neveya karmani, doing completely like this. And those closest to us too, we can't control everything. Those who are nearest and dearest also are coming with their karma. So we want best for them one way, but their karma is pushing them another way. So we can do our best, but we can't totally control it. We can't control our own life, where I want to go in this, right? I want to do this. I don't want to be home now, but I'm home. A lot of people decided, no, they're not going to be home anyway. And then they get sick in hospital in this because they're not careful. So the karma is there. And then we have to deal with it. And it's you can be like a training ground for titiksha, for forbearing things, for compassion for other people, for detachment, because we see no matter how much we do, never can we totally get to the bottom of it. Never it's going to totally solve the problems. So we see all this, so it very much can help me to learn like this. But it's not an end in itself, not the karma, not the situation. Any situation is a temporary one. So, you know, even the most difficult situations, okay, we have to, do we have a choice then? We can't just say pause, you know, like, you know, some sort of sports match. Okay, we want time out. We can't. So we have to do our best and learn and grow, because it's not just by getting rid of a certain situation. Okay, we have to do our best, but that's not what's going to solve all the problems. It'll solve some problem. But then what about all the others around like this? So to sit around and feel sorry for myself because of a certain situation isn't going to be helpful. You know, I have to move ahead and do my best, but not let that situation dictate my inner state. You know, read different things of people who go through very difficult situations but transcend them, you know. And this can give inspiration how to not let the external situation dictate to me, you know, like Anne Frank or Nelson Mandela. Read what they're, you know, amazing how they did. And then we have our problems and we think, oh, you know, poor me. But, and everybody in the world goes through, that's the nature of it. You know, what to do like this. So in any case, that's just because this had come up in the last class. And really, you know, in the end, it's not that blind, you know, have a blind eye to the world, no, but, you know, not to be too caught up in, because there's no beginning, no end, like this. In a lot of the texts, a lot of the scriptures, this, I like Swami Anubhavananda Ji, I know. He's very jolly, very joking. So he says a lot of people, they take these texts and they hear like, okay, the king ruled for 10,000 years and then renounced, went to the forest. And people say, this is nonsense. What kind of ruling 10,000 years in this? He says, you don't understand. You have to look at what's really being said here. Even if you can rule the world and have all the power, all everything you want for 10,000 years, after that you still won't be satisfied. You'll renounce and go to the forest. So this is what it is. So even after all that, and look, and you have all that, so many of the stories there, the king then puts the son on the throne and goes and renounces and goes because sees that this isn't going to, can't totally solve all the problems like this. So did his duties, you know, now son is there taking care, did what he needs now. Okay, now I can look into it. And actually, the traditional way of going through this that is prescribed by the Vedas is the four stages in life. So after you study and learn how to get along and get on in life, both training and technical know-how, knowledge, you know, spiritual knowledge and all the different things, then you live in the world, so you know, you fulfill your, you know, you fulfill your kamya karmas, and same time you take care of society. And then after some time, as you mature, you know, you close everything up and retirement retirement communities here have all the amenities for enjoyment, but here it's not for that, but for introspection, living a simpler life, and for so you can introspect, because, you know, because the thing is, what is really deeper, like this? So the vanaprastha, like this. So in this way. So that's what has been covered pretty much up till now in the text, which is the overview of everything. Now, from here, next few verses, 3 to 8, he's discussed the Upanishad, the Shruti, discusses the, you know, the higher path, if you want to say, the Jnana Yoga, Jnana Marga, like this. This is what is discussed. So let's start that today. Here in verse 3, let's read it. Asuriyana mate lokaha andhena tamasavritaha dagmste pretya bigachanti yeke chatmahano janaha. So the translation given here: those demonic worlds are covered by blinding darkness. Those people who are slayers of Atma go there after departing from the body. So the beginning of talking on Atma Jnana is going to be censor of Ajnana. And the censor of Ajnana, of the ignorance of the self, isn't in order to put down anything or anybody, but in order to see Jnanam in the higher light. This is what it's for. That's when the text goes into that. It's never for, you know, looking down any individual or group or anything like this, but in order to highlight the other, like this. You say, you know, for instance, you know, this kind of food, so much sugar in this, is very bad. I'm saying that in order to make me eat more than natural, the fruit and vegetables, because that's healthier for me. Let me have a healthy drink instead. So I say that's bad for, you know, for my mind to think of the other one, to not indulge in this, but to go to the other. So this is what this is for, discussing the and discussing problems or difficulties that come up from certain things in order to my focus in the other. That's what it's for, like this. So here he's saying Asuriya, the Asura is some people will say is demon, but it's not really totally demon here. We have Asura and Rakshasa. Rakshasa is really demon. This is really somebody who is causes a lot of pain, trouble to others, like this. This is really demon. The Asura, Asushuhu, what is it? Asushu ramanti iti saha, the one who revels in the senses. This is really what asura is. Somebody who's all excited and everything about sensual things through the senses, seeing and tasting and everything else like this. This is really what it is. So these worlds. That's the world that we know here. This is this world, which is, you know, we like to see all sorts of nice things, right? And we like to hear very nice things. And those things that I like to hear, the nice ones, what the neighbor likes, the loud music they like isn't good. The loud music I put on is good. That's what I like. And the tasty food. And again, what I think is tasty is good. What you think is tasty, I don't agree, like this. So tasty. And, you know, going certain places I like, not other places I don't like. Like the office, okay, I don't like to go, but on vacation, this place I like, in this way. So these worlds, and loka here, so Suryanama, these ones, loka, these worlds, loka actually is, the word look comes from the same root as lokaha, lokyati or lokayati in Sanskrit. So meaning, it's the whole, my karma isn't just this physical body, and isn't just, you know, okay that there is these people around, but all the experiences around are part of it. The whole field is part of the karma that I have, like this. Just like, you know, you buy a house, then there's a whole, it's not just, okay, the physical house done. The whole thing that goes with it when you buy the house is, first of all, the mortgage or taxes you pay on it, the maintenance of it, the land around it, the, here, lockdown or not lockdown in that area. You, everything else around is part of the, is a package deal, because everything is a package deal. So karma isn't just getting this body, but the whole thing attached to it is the whole karma thing. So the loka is all of this. The whole sphere of experience is there, not just one thing or the other, like this. So that's part of the karma. It's, it goes with this. Because, for instance, somebody's karma can be to be very rich and everything, but then they might not have the ability to enjoy the things as much, because maybe their taste bud isn't as trained or good. They, you know, they never learn to appreciate nice music and this or art, so they don't really enjoy it in this. So although they have everything, they can't really enjoy it the same. So that's part of the karma, the sphere of the things around, and also the ability to experience is part of it too, like this. So many things. That's one reason why that the whole loka is this. Loka is also the, so this is the karma pala. The result of what I do is what I experience. And so this body is karma pala, right? The everything I have around, karma pala, right? Having virus, right, around is karma pala. Living in US, karma pala, like this. Living now 20th century at this day and age, not 19th century, not 21st century, all these things. All this is karma pala. So that's also loka, the physical body is the karma pala, and everything around is this. So this is, and why is this, and this is andhena tamasavritaha, this is covered by darkness, because covered by ignorance, that I just see the shell and not what's beyond it. So I'm caught up in that, in the whole facade, not really what the essence is. And then, you know, so it stays as something much more shallow, because I don't see there's something so much more, so much depth behind. You know, you're caught up in the wave, and the depth and breadth of the ocean is so huge, but I'm too caught up in just in the wave that I can't see it like this. This, you know, this is how this is, this. Because what is andhena tamasa, blinded by darkness? So blindness doesn't mean the thing isn't there, means I don't see it. Avidya, ignorance, means I don't know. It doesn't mean that that's not there. So actually, when we study these things, one view somebody has, they wouldn't be as much interested in Vedanta anyway, is that this is it, I'm this person, I know this much, I can do this much, whether it's for the selfish reason or selfless reason, that's it, then, and that's it. That's my life. And but here says, okay, as somebody who's looking into, I say, okay, so what I am maybe is something so much greater. Maybe I just haven't seen it yet. I still haven't managed to totally grasp it yet. That's all. Because that opens the door to it in that way, and my focus is looking at what this is pointing out, instead of just staying on the surface level, like this. You know, and if you just think of it when it's saying this, when I observe as a conscious being, I'm aware. The fact that I'm aware is something unfathomable. There are few sensations there I call body, within the whole vastness of my self as a conscious being. And my whole focus is just on that part, and not all the rest, which is so much so expansive and not limited. This is exactly focusing the wave and not the whole, not the huge thing of the ocean. So matter pointing that out, and then, but the thing is, the idea on this wave is so deeply ingrained that it takes a little bit for me to really look and see through it. So, yeah, in Vedanta we say like this: mumukshutvam, we said, is one of the fourfold means for liberation. We need it first. So the burning desire for liberation. We get into Vedanta, then after a little while that gets changed to jignasa, mumukshutvam, to jignasa. Jignasa, desire to know. Because then I see, yes, the problem is a misunderstanding, so the solution is knowing, like we said earlier. So it gets switched to this, that I want to know who this is, who I am behind this, you know, behind this mask, right? This temporary mask that I have on. I'm caught up in that, and then what? So like this. So this, andhena tamasavritaha, so we're blinded by the ignorance. And here, really, then ignorance of the self. If I know, then things will be. Once I know, something will be different. If I don't know, then I won't. Because actually my actions come out from my convictions. In the end, what I do comes from my conviction. So if my conviction is different, then the action outside will change accordingly. I can change an external action, but if conviction didn't change, it's not going to last. Just like the New Year's resolutions, people, I'm going to now exercise, or I'm going to stick to this diet or certain things. But then the conviction isn't deep. Another person, it's not New Year's, but they go and have a medical checkup and they find that their sugar level in the blood and their blood pressure and all these indicators are not looking very good, so they'll change the lifestyle because of that, not because I made some resolution. Then the resolution might be deeper, they stick to. There's one man, I saw this video of his. He was a British man, a reporter, and he was middle-aged, mid-40s or whatever, and he went to a checkup and he was surprised again how he's gaining weight and blood pressure and sugar level, that it was going the really wrong direction. So he went and did studies on different things. People that fast a lot, he tried what they do, tried different things. And then in the end, he sticks to this certain diet, which is, some restriction where, I'm not sure exactly which one he did in the end. I think it's the one where a few days a week, you have under 500 calories or so, and then the doctors were amazed at the different things he did, amazed at how it totally changed. So because the conviction, yes, I'm not healthy, yes, I'm going downhill, I'll do something. So the action then comes from the conviction. So it's the same way, once the knowledge of self, then the conviction will be different. And, look what masters do, and then you see it's because of that conviction. Like my guru went all around the world, just peace missions. He would fly across borders where there's, their enmity from East Berlin to West Berlin, West Berlin to East Berlin in ultralight, Israel to Egypt when they were still at war, things like this. I said, okay, these borders are in our minds. Let's tell people on both sides, they're going to just, the whole world, they're going to put on fire with the people the same different places. Who would do some crazy thing like this? People say, you're going to get shot down. He said, yeah, how many people die for war? So some people can die for peace. And you're going to follow me very soon afterwards. Who's going to do something like this? So things like this, their actions. Come to Uttarkashi, see Swami Premananji, so happy, so loving in this. Because, there's no, what is there to see? The vision is different. So the actions come from this, we can say. But in any case, so here, but the main thing then, andhena tamasavrita, covered by blindness, the darkness, here it's the ignorance, self-ignorance. I take myself individual, I see things differently. I don't take as individual, be very different, I will act very differently. And, when I take myself as an individual, I cause more problem for myself, more headache for myself and for those around me, like this. And when not, then things are different, like this. And then, tam te pratyate abhigacchanti, they go to, after death, to those places. And the death doesn't mean just, okay, you can say on the one hand, you die according to your karma, you'll go and get, because if my desire is very much based in sense things of one way or the other, I'll die and I'll be born. because that's my desire. Bring myself to go after that, like this. Like, I like pastries and all these things so much, and I very much want, I'll be born, my parents will be running a bakery, and then, but if my karma wasn't good, that I wasn't sincere in some things in this, I'll have childhood diabetes and I won't be able to eat all the sweets. But in any case, so one thing can be after death, this, and one can be not just after death, it's, this is the actual death. My guru would also say that many people, they die when they're 40, they live till they're 70. Meaning, living, but what it's really living for? They're living because the body is alive, not because of anything else, pretty much just, going through the motions. Okay, what for? There's no real incentive, nothing really behind in this, no drive. So in this way, and here it's saying, okay, this life itself is like a death, and he even makes it even forwards, all of those, whoever, cha atmahana janaha, those people who are suicidal, who kill the atma. This really means suicide, but really means killing atma, the self. They're killing the self. Now, of course, you'll say, well, Lord Krishna said, najayate mriyate kadachi, doesn't born, isn't died, right? Nahanyate hanyamane sharire, the body dies, the self doesn't die. It's true, you can't touch the self. You can't kill the self. It's a metaphorical thing, an illustration that is though killing the self. Something so valuable, but we don't value it at all. It's kind of like there was this one thing somebody posted one time. Somebody's elderly father is there, and they sent him the Christmas gift, right? And they came and visited. How did he like the gift? Oh, it's really wonderful. It's a great, and they're working in the kitchen, getting the food ready for the holiday. And he says, it's such a great, such a wonderful gift. And what it is, it's an iPad, but he doesn't know what an iPad is. So he thought it's a cutting board. So they're working in the kitchen and he's putting things on together. So that iPad, he didn't know what it is. He used it for something else. So I don't know what it is. And I use it for this nonsense in the world. That's what the Mahatmas say, the Gyanis. They say, we don't know what the I is, and we use it for nonsense. In this way. So it's totally devaluing, as though it's not there. As though, as a conscious being, I'm not there. Now, what's pointed out here is, this is a very interesting thing. The insights I hear, Swami Tatvidananji, I see, is unparalleled. I've heard him in person a lot, and I hear his talks. And actually, any of these texts that I teach, when it's available, I study Swami Paramartana. Some like this I studied also with Vijayji, with my teacher here. But most of the texts then, Swami Paramartanandaji, the Swami Dayananji disciples, his recordings, which he gives very methodical. And Swami Tatvidananda-ji, I listen afterwards, whose breadth and insight is just, I find, unparalleled. So one that really the structure is very clear, and one just... So here, how he explains about this is quite phenomenal is, we take the Atma consciousness, instead of being the conscious being, that which is the light behind everything, as Jada, as the insentient. How is that? Right, I see, right? Since I'm seeing, to see I have to be a conscious being. Now, I'm caught up though in what I see. What are the colors, forms that I see? Now the colors, forms that I see, what is it? That's jada, that's insentient. Colors, forms, it's an insentient, it's just the shell, it's insentient thing. Right? It's not the living thing, not the conscious thing, colors and forms. So I get caught up in that, so that's as though I'm becoming insentient because I'm just caught up in that. Now, the fact that I see that I'm the one behind the seeing, that's the consciousness. So seeing, in and through the seeing, I'm there, but I'm caught up. I want to hold on to just a part of it, just a scenery. So I get caught up. That's like just the shell or just the this moment thing, but not the whole thing behind it, the whole thing enlivening it in this way. And so in that way, I just, you know, put myself in that small thing of what is being seen instead of the whole, which is, again, just like the surface, the waves on the surface, where the whole seeing that I'm aware is really being reflected in that fact that I can see. And that, when I discard, is just the secondary, and the primary I take is what is being seen. And this is what happens. And then it happens with each thing, you know. I eat, tasting. The fact that I can taste shows I'm a conscious being, but I'm caught up in what I'm tasting, like this. Swami Shivananda said along these lines, he used to break out in song, sing and make up all these things. So he said like this, he would sing, taste isn't a fetter, tongue isn't a fetter, coffee isn't a fetter, the excited desire is a fetter, know this point well. He'd go on. He'd say, eye isn't a fetter, seeing isn't a fetter, eye isn't a fetter, form isn't a fetter, beauty isn't a fetter, the excited desire is a fetter, know this point well. That it's being caught up in that I can see fine, that I can taste fine, but that I'm caught up in specific experience, that I'm holding on just to the shell, just to that one thing, and not the whole thing, that I'm something so much greater behind this, that's just expressing as that. It's like I'm a programmer, I'm a policeman, I'm a parent, just in that. But that's just a role that you're filling with so much more behind it, right? But I identify just with the role. And the role is just an external shell, you know, like you put on some clothes, and that's just it. So this way, how he explains, I find, you know, very clear and simple. And that's really how we just then are caught up in that, and not the fact that I'm the one who fills it, right? What is that's? So this is a very beautiful way that he discusses this. So let's see a few other things about what is being discussed here. So one thing about this is, according to this vision then, any external circumstance, any karma, is still as good as a hell, he's saying here, like this hell, right? Because saying this is like a hell. Because even if you go to the heaven, what is the heaven? Karmapala, result of my actions. Meaning, I'll be there for some time, and then it'll go away, and I'll be caught up wanting to hold the experience. This action, Nachiketas was saying, okay, if you take me to some great heaven in this, what will it be like after I have to leave there? Right? Look, somebody's sitting in a nice big white house in the capital in Washington, in a month and a half he has to leave. How much pain he's going through, he has to leave. If I were to be rich and have some big house in this, I'd have to leave it at some time too. Okay, I'd say, okay, my children are getting or something, I'll be happy, but who knows, you know. I'll go to heaven, I'll enjoy so much, I want to stay, but can I stay? Right? You get as long as the karma pala is there. And when you identify with the karma pala, that karma pala, the result of your karmas, will be temporary. That's why it's palam, fruit. It, the moment it fructifies, the moment it's ready, it also starts to deteriorate very quickly. You know, we have refrigeration, but without refrigeration, it'll sit out very quickly. It goes bad, right? Like we make sure to go to the, Jyoti goes to the store every other week, and that's it. And I go to the farmer's market in the neighborhood on Sunday. That's it, because being very careful. But then if you get bananas for 2 weeks, it doesn't work, because bananas aren't in farmer's market. And get banana, within a week, even the green ones, they start going bad. We found out you can keep in the fridge a few more days, but still, they won't last for 2 weeks. They'll last for a few more days there. So any result we get is there for some time and goes away. And if I want to hold on to it, if the more I identify with it, the more as it slips away, it's more difficult. The more I hold on to it, the more difficult it'll be. Like this. You know, just imagine, we live in this body. This is the center of my life for so long. When it's starting to deteriorate, how hard it is, right? How hard. And when it has to go, how hard that will be. And it's not just letting go of this body. You have to let go of everything it's connected to the same time. It's not that just the body will go, it rests is here, but everything will be gone. Your visa, when your visa expires, you have to leave the country. And it's not that just you go, but you can still be seeing everything, enjoying everything, just everything, you're gone out of it. So before we know it, that happens. And if I'm holding on to the specific place, specific experience, specific role, specific this, it's gone, because that's karma pala, and then what? So this is why it's censoring this idea of being attached to what I experience through the senses, because that's fleeting. Those are just the ripples on the surface. And when I'm attached to that, then it causes so much more pain and suffering. And pain and suffering is same as what we say, hell, pain and suffering, like this. One time I was at the Hare Krishna temple in Berkeley. They have a temple there. Jyoti she and some of her students used to perform there sometimes. So we were there, and while we were, they take a special guest and this coming, so their director, I think it was from Mumbai, somewhere in India, we were sitting with him, and he was telling some stories of their guru, of Sri Prabhupada, because he's a direct disciple of his. So he said that one time he was going to be interviewed in England. Some very famous person was going to interview on TV, live TV. And this person was known to really know how to cut at people, put them down within the interview like this. And they were, the close disciple was scared, how is he going to go and talk to this? It'll make him look bad. And I said, no, I'm going. So when he interviewed a few things, and he would give very smart answers. He said, like one answer he gave, he said, well, you take all these people that are just hippies or this, they don't know much, and you teach them this stuff. What is it? He said, well, the hippies will become happies and the punks will become monks. He said this. But then he said, you're a spiritual leader in this. You know, you must know about things. Tell me about hell. He said, London. They were in London. This is saying London, the big city, is a hell, meaning if you're so addicted to all this excitement, what'll happen when it's not there? You know, you live in a big city. I lived in Manhattan six, 7 years, Shivananda Yoga Center, right? It's like city, like everybody's high on caffeine 24/7. That's what it's like there in Manhattan. Now, imagine somebody grows up, they love Manhattan, they live there many years. Now, something happens, they can't be there. They're in old age home, or they're not well in hospital, they can't have all the excitement. They won't be able to take it. Somebody's used to all the busyness. If they go to a very quiet place, they can't take it. Like this. So Padma was with me in the New York Center. He used to joke. He'd go for a walk. He'd say, I'm going out for some pollution. So in any case, so that's one of the things, the entrapment in it. Very nice, I can enjoy now, but what happens from that? And to say I'm going to enjoy, but I won't identify with, that's hard, that's very hard to believe, because when I like something, I want to hold on and repeat it. When I don't like, I don't want it, I don't want it there. And that raga dvesha then binds me, because now I want to run after these, I want to get away from these things. I want to prolong one, and I want to get, and then it starts, that's how all samsara is starting to run like this. So this is why he's saying this loka, this field of experience, by taking it as the solid reality and disregarding the fact that the conscious being behind it is like a hell, really, because it's how it's binding me. Right? They say burning in hell forever. This is endless. If you keep engaging, where does it end? Where does it begin? Where does it end? like this. Very interesting. Now, the senses, they don't live on their own. They live with the mind, right? They need the mind also for this. They go hand in hand. So the mind also, it's the same. If the same analysis we gave, my mind, I'm caught up in the thoughts. What is happening in my mind? I'm thinking of one thing or the other. And that's again the ripple on the surface. That's a jada. What is thought? Information, right? Some sort of information, that's what it is, of one kind or the other. And even with that information, the amount of information, and to pull out the more logical one in this, the computer's already, it shows computers can already do slowly solve problems how we can't, right? The world champions in Go and in chess have already lost to the supercomputers. They didn't think they would, but they did. So in any case, so same way as with the senses, the fact that I think shows I'm a conscious being. What I think is information, it's jada, it's not conscious. So I'm caught up in that instead of the fact that I think. So of course, the more caught up I am in things, the harder to see this. That's again why the kurva neveha karmani, doing when I slowly am doing things not for the short term, but doing it as for purification of mind, doing because it's needed, then I will be less caught up in because I'll do what's needed. So the circumstance doesn't matter. Whatever circumstance, do what's needed, not what I want. So then the circumstance doesn't bind me anymore. So it'll help to purify the mind. So of course, a mind that's calmer, it's easier to see this. But still, the mind, I have to look at, I have to see that I'm the one who is, I'm not the thoughts, I'm the thinker, the one behind it. Ken Upanishad goes into this in detail. Keneshitam pratati preshitam manaha. It says also, chakshur chakshuhu, you are the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the thought of the thought, the one behind the mind. That it's not just the experience, it's the one behind it. Otherwise, it just stays on the surface like this. So even with the thoughts, I'm the conscious being. Because of me, there can be thoughts. If there's no conscious being, how can there be thoughts? So not the thought, but you behind the thought, like this. So this is what this is saying. You're caught up just in the thought, endless ripples. You're the one behind it, the ocean behind all the ripples. How different it is, like this. So this is an important point, that it's senses and mind that are then working together. And there, and we identify with the limited information we have, and we take that as a reality, like this. So this is other point he's bringing up here. And you know what, if we take it as far as that, what about the body itself? Same thing. You feel the body, right? What is the body? If I look at it directly from my experience, bundle of sensations, that's all. Now, bundle of sensations, so I can say, oh, my body feels very good now, right? I did some yoga, now my body feels very good. Or I had nice massage, my body feels good. I slept well, feels very good. Or I can say, oh, my back is this, my knee, my tummy and this, and my body feels heavy. So like this, we can take all different things. But then again, sensations. Every sensation, what is it? It shows that I'm like a small mirror that shows that I'm aware. So it all shows that I'm aware, that I'm conscious. And then if I take it as what it feels, then I'm going again into just the reflecting media, which is some insentient thing, instead of who is enlivening it. That I'm the one in and through behind each sensation. Then somebody wants to be fully alive, they say, that's fully alive. Then I'm fully alive. Here I'm just, partially on the surface because I'm just on what it feels like, what it is. Like this, instead of that I'm the one behind it like this. So this is what is being pointed out here like this. In the Gita, Krishna also says like this, Aghayu Indriyaramaha, the one who is enjoying the senses, their life is in vain, or really here, it's going to be counterproductive. Because, again, it's just being caught up in this level, in this thing. And one other thing that's said about that, this is a very, very important point that's said, is as we go through life, we experience the pairs of sukha-dukha, of pleasure-pain, right? Happiness-sorrow. So we have happiness and sorrow. We want in our life to increase happiness and not have sorrow like this. Now, this is kind of like saying, I want to go on the roller coaster. I want it to go up, but I don't want it to go down. Isn't it like that? Right? Some people, they want to tell their kids about how they have it easy, right? So they say, when I was your age, I had to walk to school. I'd have to walk 2 miles uphill in the hot sun every day, and then walk 2 hills uphill to go home. And the little kid hears that, and then the bigger kid says, how can you go uphill both ways? It doesn't work. So up and down have to go together. You can't have... So if there's pleasure, there's pain. If there's happiness, there's sorrow. There has to be. The moment you're in pair of opposites, it will go both ways. You can't ever just swing one way. So people, we have the idea, we say people meaning us, you know, people in the world. We have the idea, let me increase my happiness level through whatever means and things. I'll just be in the happiest and not have the sorrow like this. Now what happens though is it won't work. It won't work because it's both. So they're codependent. You have one, you have the other. You have up, you have down. Happiness, sorrow. Samatvam yoga uchyate. There are also so much of this, you know, everything you can find in Gita as well. So yoga is, you know, being the balance. Because if I identify with the happy mind, I identify with the depressed mind. It's identification. So if the mind now is happy, and I know I'm Sakshi, I'm aware of that state of mind. Now my mind is not as happy, feels a little more depressed. I'm aware of the depressed mind. So then the swings won't be as much and won't be as far. But if I identify it, then it's part of that cycle, like this. So out of habit, I'm used to being... identify with the state. We're here, it's the fact that I'm aware, I bring my attention. So in this way, very opposite ways like this. So this is why, this is again, going back to why it's pointing this out, why it's censoring to say, you know, be aware, be cautious. Again, I remember Swami Anubhavanandaji gave a very nice point about this whole thing. He said, when you come into this world, they have the label, you know, like the label on the cigarettes, beware, not good for your health. Beware, you're coming to the world of non-duality, world of pain and suffering. Which do you want? Do you want to have, you know, the ups and downs of this, or do you want the viveka vairaga? You choose, you know, you choose. You want this, or you want this, in this way. So in this way, in looking at it like this, as it's pointing out here, slowly helps to increase this viveka and vairagya, what it's pointing out. By seeing the difference, it's spelling out the difference between myself as a conscious being and the other stuff, the appearances, atma and atma, and also helps to have some more vairagya, understanding how the other one entraps, the anatma entraps, and doesn't really solve, won't really solve my problem like this. So that's how it's, just by the study of it, the viveka vairagya gets increased like this. This is an important thing here. That's why, again, you know, when I come into Vedanta, okay, I don't have the 100% prerequisite, but this is helping to, you know, build that within me so I can have that understanding. So let's finish here, and next week we'll continue with this. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Keep well then. Let's do this every other week. I'll make sure that we'll have some more time for any discussion questions. And if you have any question you think is very pertinent to it, you can also email me or something ahead of time, both the more time to churn it instead of just answering just on the top of my head. That's one thing. And also then I'll make sure there's more time. Like if it's a question that's something that I think would be important to discuss in the class, we can take more time for it as well, because then I can, okay, this will take more time to discuss and we have our limited time in the class, so we'll have more room for it. So feel free to do that. But I'll make sure every other time to have more time left afterwards. Take good care. We'll see you all soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.